Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your unofficial weekly podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can check out Marcos Chipper's Facebook page for their festive opening times. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, full of festive spirit, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back on the disappointing defeat to East Fife. As we're halfway through the season, we'll have our own half-term report, and we'll be looking ahead to the final game of 2019, the game to Clyde on Saturday. So, Martin, how are you? Christmas shopping all done?
Yeah, all done, and we're ready for Wednesday, the big day.
The big day. I'm always amazed that everybody says Christmas has come up behind them pretty quick, and they're surprised. It's the same date every year. It doesn't change.
No, it's always the same.
Everybody should be a bit more prepared for it, but anyway. Right, so, Christmas shopping might have been a better option on Saturday instead of going to the East Fife game, I think.
Yeah, I think some of our players' minds were maybe on the Christmas shopping because it was a very, very poor defensive display.
It was a poor defensive display. It was frustrating. It was disappointing. We left kind of felt flat after the game when we left. All in all, it was quite disappointing. It's one of those kind of games you feel as though that we should have really gotten something out of it.
Yeah, certainly. We spoke last week that we felt this was a game that we could not easily get 3 points, but we really should be looking for the 3 points. And coming away from the game, as you said, we're disappointed. I still feel that we should have put in a better performance and got a better result. I didn't think East Fife were that great on the day either, but ultimately they've come away with the 3 points and gone back down the road quite happy.
I think that the whole day was kind of summed up the fact that Gary Fraser wasn't named on the bench when the team sheets came out, and then as the team names were being read out, he was then back on the bench. So it was just a bit kind of, everybody just seemed to be a bit all over the place.
It was like the hokey-cokey.
He was out. Because we got the team sheet was out really early, which was the first surprise. Second surprise, obviously, Gary Fraser wasn't even in the lineup, and then all of a sudden, no, he's back on the bench again. Bit of a strange scenario. But the other change was Stevenson came in for Smith. We thought straight away that Stevenson would be playing on the right. For some reason, he was playing on the left, and Conroy was playing on the right. It's a modern way of doing things, having your naturally right-footed or left-footed wingers on the opposite sides, so they can cut in. It's nae Bale and Ronaldo that we've got. It's Stevenson and Conroy. It's nae the best scenario to have, I don't think.
No, and I think 5 minutes in, you turned around and said it was quite congested in the middle of the park. We've seen that quite a few times in recent weeks when you've got your right-footed player on the left and your left-footer on the right. They want to come inside and drift into the middle, cause a bit of congestion, then you lose that natural width that you're looking for, and then your full-backs end up pushing up. It all got a little bit messy. I'd have preferred it to be the opposite way, personally.
It got messy because at one point in the second half, Stevenson was actually playing as a striker. And again, everybody just seemed to be out of sorts for the whole game.
Yeah, it was strange. It was, like you said, he was up front, and then one point he's out in the right, then he's out in the left. It summed up the whole day, as you said earlier on. It was a bit of a mess and a mishmash.
Easy for me to say. It started off not too bad, though. Leach had a couple of early efforts, and Will did, for a start, look good in possession. And that kind of was the trend throughout the rest of the game, though. It will look good in possession, but didn't really sort of create much.
No, it didn't really create much at all throughout the whole game. We said we're good in possession, but didn't do nothing with it. It was sort of across the middle of the park, or 9 times out of 10, players were going backwards. I think the players were getting frustrated as well, because they were passing it back and they were turning around and looking at each other, but there wasn't another pass on, so that ultimately the only pass is to go backwards and keep possession. But it was, yeah, it was a poor performance, a bit subdued. Even the crowd, it felt a bit flat. Can folks around about us as well were saying poor performance, so yeah, overall disappointing.
You mentioned the crowd, but I think it was the first game this season that I think the fans were getting frustrated with the amount of passes that were going backwards. You could actually hear them running about us, as you said, screaming and shouting, get the ball forward, get it into the wings. It is it is a worrying trend that's starting to happen. But performances, obviously, and wins breed confidence. So as you start to lose more games than you win, it's easier to then pass it back because you don't want to lose possession. You don't want to give it up.
Yeah, you don't want to take that risky pass and lose the ball. You want to keep the ball, as you said. But we have, you know, this is a team that have beaten Clyde away. They've beaten Raith at home. They have got good results in them. So the confidence, okay, it's maybe lacking at the moment, but they should feel that they can go into games and get the win. I don't see why. Obviously, Hooper had a howler for his goal that we conceded from in the first half, but the first 5-10 minutes after that, everyone looked scared to get the ball, and there was nobody really taking control of the situation, and that just sort of breeded throughout the team for the rest of the game.
And this was the first game of a run of 4 games in 5 at home, which you don't get very often in a season, so it was a big chance to get points on the board. And in fact, they looked more nervous to play at home than they do away from home, which is, again, a strange scenario, a strange thing to say, but if you're not winning games, that's what kind of happens. You start to hide a little bit because you've got more fans at home than you do away from home.
Yeah.
You start to panic, maybe isn't the right word, but you don't want to lose. You don't want to be the one that makes the error.
Like you said, it is a worrying trend. Obviously, people around about us were concerned as well. It seemed to be the players were concerned, and that's something that, as you know, if we've got 4 out of 5 games are at home, we really need to start getting wins at home if we're going to survive in the league.
The goals were classic Peterhead goals to concede this season. If we're not conceding for corners or free kicks, set pieces were conceded by individual errors. First one is, it's the classic thing of if you let the ball bounce and you're in it half, you're in trouble.
We touched on that last week. How you know, in the second half, we're allowing the ball to bounce in our box or the edge of the box, and we're guilty of that again on Saturday.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Hooper's done the right thing in the first part of it, because Jason Brown's going to win the header. He hasn't won the header, so he's come round to cover in the sort of sweeper kind of position. And then he decides he's going to try and head it back from, 18, 20 yards out? When he's got two men rushing on towards him. And he doesn't even make a great connection either. It more or less kind of scuffs his head rather than actually getting a contact on it. You just want them to get rid of it.
Yeah, deal with it. If in doubt, put it out, put it into the stand, and then you regroup and you deal with it from there. And ultimately, the lack of contact on the ball for the header is cost us.
It's Christmas season, as we know, but we've gifted them the first goal. We've gifted them another goal as well. It was just so poor. If he'd booted that ball right over top where he's into the car park, we would have been all fine. Apart from that, they didn't really create much at all. They didn't look like a team that were challenging for the league title either, which was a strange thing, because although Jim said that he felt that the gap between us and them had closed, I didn't necessarily think that it means that we've improved. I just think they've maybe declined recently and they've been struggling in performances recently.
Like we said at the start, I don't think East Fife were great at all, but we allowed them to get a bit of confidence by gifting them the opening goal. And they went on from that, but I don't think they did too much in the game over the 90-odd minutes. So it was disappointing that we weren't able to be more of a authoritative figure within the game.
We had nearly 60% of possession, but within that, we only really had 3 shots on target. And that pretty much sums up how things are going. Not just in that game, but the season as a whole. We're not creating enough chances.
Yeah, goals are certainly a thing that's becoming a big worry as well.
It's a huge worry. The second goal, again, was for an individual error. Collectively, maybe as well, as an error. Jim has said in his post-match that Fleming's going to take the blame for it, or has said he's going to take the blame for it. But again, I know he's more senior than what his 2 centre halves are, but he just needs somebody to deal with it. Yes, I know he's made the call, he's made the shout, but you're looking for Brown or Hooper just to deal with it.
Yeah,
get rid of it. And that way, there's going to be no second goal. Although maybe we didn't look as though we were going to equalise, at least you're still in the game. But 2-0, it's dead and buried.
It was one of them. You'd rather put it into stands and then you regroup and deal with it after. I'd rather the keeper who shouted it, that it's his ball, but the centre half has cleared it. Rather than creating any doubt in your mind, you've got to do it and you deal with it from there. And as you said, at 1-0, going into the last 20 minutes of the game, you never know the doubt that East Fife might have come under and their minds gotten deeper. You might have nicked something, you never know, but as you said, 2-0, the game was done and dusted.
If you deal with it, then you can argue the toss about after
exactly.
As long as it's dealt with, then you can argue and shout and ball at each other after that. It was a poor one to concede. We did get one back. Scott Brown got his sixth of the season. A good finish for him again. And then the funny thing was, we seemed to play better after it was 2-0.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, we better start playing here. But 2-0 down, it's almost too late then.
Yes, it certainly was in this game, as you said, 2-0 down. Then we started playing, we've gotten a good goal through Scott Brown in the last 10 minutes. We did have a couple of chances after that to get an equaliser, but it wasn't to be.
Chances, I think there were huge chances. Aidan Smith probably won't have better chances all season to score. He's in the right place. He just needs to get some kind of connection on those, and he scores.
Yeah, any connection, and I feel it goes in the back of the net. He's unlucky in a sense that they have come on pretty quick. He has come off the bench as a substitute, but you know he's fresher. You'd think he's maybe that slight bit sharper in his mind. You know, and he's even said he's looking to get goals, and McAnally's looking for goals from him. You won't get much better chances than what he did.
He'll be kicking himself. I mean, obviously Hooper will feel as though he's made a howler. Smith probably feels the same. He's maybe cost us a point. But these are chances that we're not getting very often, and we need to take them. And it sounds like an easy thing to say, but he had one, and then every 2 minutes later, he had another one straight away, and he's like, you're almost on your knees, kind of, why can't they score?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And the way that this season has gone, it's chances that we can't afford to pass up. We're not going to get too many chances. We don't create enough chances as it is. So when you're not gifted, but when you're presented the opportunities of a half chance, you've really got to try and make the most of it.
I know we've mentioned before as well, but McAllister playing up front on his own, and he's given his age and his injury status and his carrying injuries and etc. Is there going to come a point where Jeremiah needs to change his tactics again and play with two, or changes who he's playing up front on his own? Because at the moment, or is it maybe the midfield that he maybe needs to change slightly to try and create more chances to get these goals that we're needing?
Yeah, McAllister's not going to score goals if he's not getting the chances, but I think he maybe does need to go with two up top, give someone else a chance. As I said, McAllister, he has got his injuries. He's not scoring, so you sometimes maybe think if you drop him a couple of games, give someone else a chance, maybe a change of formation, just freshen things up a little bit, and see, because obviously things aren't working at the moment, so something needs to change or else we're going to be in for a really tough second part of the season.
It's East Fife, they did play with two up top, or they started certainly with two up top, so it's not something that it doesn't happen in modern football anyway. Teams do play with two up top, they sometimes play with three. I just think there's something lacking there. I know we look good in possession. Jim likes us, how we're passing, there's little flicks and tricks and things like that. But it's all in the centre of the park.
It's passing across midfield. It's going nowhere. You could have 1,000 passes in a game, but if you're not doing anything in the final third, it doesn't matter how many passes you have.
Aye.
And yeah, something needs to improve.
And as we said as well, the lack of confidence then just gets worse and worse, to the point where you're making those simple 5-yard passes backwards because it's easier. We did see, when Paddy Boyle gets forward, he can get a great cross in, but there's never an MD there to be on the end of them, and if they are, then we're not hitting the target with it. I mean, McAllister's header right before half time was a great example. We've got a great cross for Ferguson, I think it was, and McAllister's there, he's got the header, and it looks like a goal all the way in, and his keeper's made a fantastic save. Now, you can't predict that. The keeper's made a brilliant save, and you just have to say, well, that's a brilliant save. But it does show that when we get the crosses right, and we get men in the right position, there are going to be chances. And another day, McAllister probably would have scored there. He tucked in. Maybe even if he didn't even connect with it properly, he might have scored.
He's maybe got a too good a connection. Aye. Staff, as it sounds, he's hit too well.
It was a brilliant save to keep him, and he did do well, so we'll kind of say much about that. But East Fife, they were, again, we looked at Raith Rovers from at home as well. All these teams, they look, I wouldn't say look poor, but I wouldn't say they're any better than we are in terms of how they play, their quality. I just think that they are taking their chances when
they're
given
clinical, whereas we're not at the moment.
Aye. I mean, they beat Stranraer last week 2-0, and by all accounts, it was daylight robbery because they didn't play well at all. But they took their chances, and I think it's the same scenario here again. They've taken their chances because we've gifted them their chances, and they've taken them, and that's the difference. And that's why we're where we're at, and that's why where they're at.
Yeah, that's why there's a bit of a gap opening up now as well. We're not taking our chances, and we do make that defensive errors which allow teams to capitalise.
And there is a bit of a gap. There is a gap opening up. Obviously, we've got Clyde next. We're 2 points behind them, and I think there's a gap. 6 point gap.
Yeah, 5 or 6 point gap
up to Montrose. So it is starting to open up slightly. The worrying thing is the gap down the way is getting closer as well. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But yeah, all in all, I think we were really disappointed, frustrated.
Yes.
With the whole scenario on Saturday, we left feeling flat, I think would be the phrase to say. So with that, it's a disappointing game to end the first half of the season, as we look at our half term report. Generally speaking, how would you say the season has gone?
Frustrating. It's been a mixed bag because there is some good results, a good result against Raith and Clyde, but then you throw in results like being 2-1 up against Dumbarton and throwing it away 3-2 at home earlier on in the season. A mixed bag, quite frustrated, that would be the summarisation for me.
I think, I've off the top of my head, we've probably got 8 to 10 points that we've left in games that we've really should have done better. And Dumbarton game is the perfect example, 2-0 up there, and we've lost 3-2. Another home game against Montrose, which we drew 0-0. It wasn't the best of games, but he just felt that he just needed something different, and that we could have won. Montrose were there for the taking,
yeah,
and we could have beaten them. So let's have a look at the signings. I know I did a sort of quarterly report earlier on, but we'll look at the seven signings that Jim has brought in. We'll start with Aidan Smith. I know we've just mentioned him in the game there. It's been a bit of a strange one for him. He played quite well early on, and now he just seems to be in and out of the team.
Stop start for him, really. He shows signs of really good play and performances, whether it be within like 20 periods within a game, but it's that end product that's just lacking, whether it be the shot on goal or whether he's not in the best position for a shot and laying it off that a teammate. Confidence is, I think, maybe Aidan's biggest thing. Once he does eventually get a run the team or goals, whether that comes with a change of formation, who knows. I think quite a stop start for him for this part.
I still believe he's got the beating of most fullbacks if he's playing on the left wing. And he can get by anybody and get those crosses in. Again, if he's getting crosses in, we just need somebody on the end of them. I really hope he's he's going to find his confidence, and he's going to be a much more all-round player second half of the season, because I think he could be crucial in how we play for the rest of the season. Another young striker came in was Ben Armour. Ben's been restricted to his appearances so far, just the one goal as well. He hasn't, I don't think he's really been much of a chance, really.
No. Obviously, if Jim's only playing one up top, it's normally McAllister or Lyle, and if players are coming on, it's either one or the other, or Aidan Smith that's coming on. He has been restricted. I think there is a player there. Only time you see him, I think there's something that I do like when I see. I can't put my finger on what it is at the moment. We haven't seen much of him. But I do think for a youngster, there is a player hiding in there somewhere. Again, he's probably disappointed he hasn't had much games himself. And hopefully in the second half we'll see more of him.
He's probably a victim of us only playing one up front most of the time.
Yeah, the formation doesn't help him.
It doesn't help him. And being probably the younger out of the four as well, it's not going to help. Another one he brought in midfield. So he brought in Gary Fraser and Ryan Conroy. Experienced guys, but at different ages. Conroy obviously slightly older than Fraser, but Fraser's played at the higher level, played for Partick Thistle in Premier League, etc. Two guys, midfield guys, but they bring different aspects to the game.
Yes, Gary Fraser, I think we signed him, he's just come back from injury, so he'd seen a lot of time to get into a better routine for him. I think Fraser, Brown and Ferry link up well in the midfield when the three of them's playing. I like his passing. He is one player that when you do give him the ball, he will put his head up and try and look for that forward pass or playing it out to the wings if we've got wingers. And obviously Conroy, he struggled to start with. He didn't really get much appearances from Jim. He was then put in out to the right, and then he was in centre, and now he's back out to the right. And in the last month, we've seen why Jim's took him in. He's a really good player, and he does like cutting in that left and creating from out wide. So I've been impressed with them too. They've probably been the two signings that stand out more than anyone.
Yeah, and in defence, he brought in Hooper and Ferguson. Ferguson was the last of the signings at the transfer window. It shut. Hooper's been more of a first team pick recently, and I think he's linked well with Jason Brown at the back.
Yeah,
and they've looked. I know it's quite a lot we're speaking now, considering what we just said 5-10 minutes ago. But I think the two of them have looked good as a partnership.
Yeah, it's something we didn't really have at the start of the season. Was a centre partnership. The Hooper and Brown have now come in, and they've looked good. There is that lapse in concentration from time to time, but hopefully the more that they play, the better understanding they'll get. As you said about a quarter of an hour ago, when Brown went forward to win the header on Saturday, Hooper is covered. Granted, it's gone a little bit wrong at the end, but you know, they've got that understanding. One's going to meet it, the other one's dropped slightly deeper. Again, it's another player that you're looking for throughout the team to push on in the second half of the season.
And in terms of centre-halves, he did kind of chop and change for a start, because obviously Edie was in, Dunlop was in, Brown was playing at right back, Hooper played at right back as well, but he seems to be settled with these two and settled with that kind of four of Ferguson, Hooper, Brown and Boyle as the back four, which
yeah.
I think has been the best combination we've had.
Yeah, you don't want to go tinkering about with the back four plus your keeper too often. You want to try and build a more solid base to have a foundation to go and build on results.
And our last summer signing was Lenny Wilson. Lenny obviously just been signed as a backup, hasn't made any appearances yet, so we can't really critique him too much.
No,
I guess.
He hasn't put a foot wrong.
He hasn't put a foot wrong. He's looked good in the warm ups. That's as much as we can say. And his birthday is next week on Sunday. So happy birthday to him as well. Strange sight my hair birthday. I know 29th of December, but that's too much he could do about it, I think. Right. So in terms of your player of the season so far. Any standouts?
You would think Scott Brown would be one. He's our top goal scorer. But for me, I think Jack Leach. I did like Jack when he's playing with Luke. Not more comfortable, but we look like we'll create more chances when he's in the squad and just in that number 10 role. I think he does link up as well as he can with Conroy coming in and the striker. So, and what has been a slightly below par start to the season, I would think my player so far would be Jack Leach.
And when he was out injured, we did miss him, and it was quite obvious we missed
him. Yeah, we struggled.
Just that little bit of flair from him as well, because we didn't have that many flair players, if you like.
Yeah.
He's one. But I'd agree with you there. I think Scott Brown's been the most consistent, I think. Yes, he's chipped in with his goals, which is just as well, because nobody else has been really getting the goals. But his performances, he's up and down the park, he's box to box, I think is the phrase you would use. He's been, I would say, the most consistent, and I like the way he's developing as well. Obviously, there was a speculation of him moving on in the summer with Dunfermline. So if this is maybe his last season with us, then I mean, I'm quite glad we've still got him. If we can keep him again next season, I think that'll be a great bit of business for us.
Yeah, certainly.
Any other sort of players that you think that have improved? I know it's quite difficult to kind of consider where we're at and how disappointing the season's gone. Any players you think that have improved?
Maybe not improved as such, but I think the team look better, certainly when we've got Simon Ferry playing. We spoke maybe about a month ago now, and we did a little piece on Simon Ferry and how good he is in front of the back four. I think when you take him out, we do look more vulnerable, a little bit weaker.
We call it the Ferry effect.
Yeah. So yeah, I think as a team we do look a lot better when we've got him playing, which is why when you go to these plastic pitches away from home, we do lose. We do lose Simon, and we do look worse for it, in my opinion. Yeah.
I think it was mentioned before already, but I think Gary Fraser's been, once he's got to get himself to match fitness, he's improved quite a bit. He does like to get, another one that likes to get box to box, he gets forward. Not as vocal as maybe like somebody like Simon Ferry, but you can tell that he's a leader of sorts, you know. Everybody just seems to kind of stand up a little bit straighter, get their shoulders in.
Yeah. Like,
come on, let's get stuck in, kind of thing. And I also think as well, some of the guys that maybe aren't what you call it, the star players or the standout players, maybe, you know, like a Paddy Boyle, for example, is very consistent. You know what you're going to get from him, and he's kind of got that. Well, there's nobody else really, but he's kind of got that left back position his, and that'll be his for as long as he wants it. Very rare that you'll see a mistake for Boyle. As I said, he and another one, he likes to get forward, he gets the crosses in as well. So there are positives, but if these positives just aren't all happening at the same time,
yeah, it's frustrating.
It's individual players are doing well in specific games, but they're not all doing well in the same game, which is kind of a bit kind of annoying more than anything.
It sums up the season, doesn't it, really?
It does, yeah. And your performance of the season so far, any standout performances?
I'm going to go for the result at home against Raith. We're on the back of six games with five defeats and one draw, and we actually looked at the games coming up when there were Raith and Clyde, and we're starting to look at the league table and be a little bit concerned. And then we put in a result, and we got a 2-0 win against Raith. And on the back of what I just said with the five defeats and six, that is my game of the season so far.
Yeah, and it was, as you said, it was a performance that came out of nowhere, really. Raith were sort of flying high at the time. I think they were kind of taken aback slightly by it as well. But again, it does show that those performances are there, and we can beat these teams.
Yeah, certainly.
And we've said throughout the season already as well, everybody can beat everybody. It's just getting that consistency, getting the two or three games in a row. It's for myself, performance of the season. I'll give you a guess what you think mine is.
I have a funny feeling it might be a result against Clyde.
It will be a result against Clyde, yeah, the way it came to Clyde. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I like this beating Clyde. It was just, again, another all-round performance. It was I would say it was a 45-minute performance rather than the full 90. And Jim had said after the game, he hasn't seen Peter Reid play as well as that in the 8 years he's been there. So again, we just have to say, well, these performances are there, so let's get them a bit more consistent.
I think that's what makes the season more frustrating, that you know there's performances within the team, but it's some of the performances that they put out over 90 minutes in certain games. You think, well, you know, where is the team that played 2 weeks ago or even the week before? Aye. Where have they gone?
I do think if we can get two or three wins in a row, that's going to go a long way. But at the minute, you kind of see us getting three wins in a row.
No.
Which is the annoying thing. But you never know. The defeat on Saturday might just be a little bit of a kick up the backside that we need. So all in all, how would you rate the season so far?
So far, 5 or 6 out of 10. Like you said, there is performances that can be there, but then we throw in a bad performance. There's certainly room for improvement. At most 6 out of 10.
I think 5 or 6 would be a fair assumption. Anything higher, I think, would be kind of slightly delusional. We're not being too harsh, I don't think, either. If it was any lower, I think it would be too harsh, but I think 5 or 6, quite there or thereabout. As we said, there's been performances of the highest standard, and yet there's been performances there hasn't been. And we're now sitting for Brighton League for no reason.
It's just trying to find that level of consistency
with
the performances.
Obviously, as we mentioned before, the coaching scenario. Now, David McCracken is now confirmed as the Falkirk manager or head coach or whatever it is. He's there. Jim did mention, and we kind of touched upon this last week, that what he might do, and he said that he's going to get Simon Ferry, Derek Lyle, and Michael Dunlop all to help out with his coaching, which, given the ages of these guys, it's a scenario that it probably suits everybody in terms of how they're going to go forward in their careers, I guess.
Yeah, you would think that them players have probably got an eye on what they're going to do after they retire from football, and it maybe just paves the way for them to come into a coaching role maybe slightly earlier than they anticipated, but I'm sure a role that any of the players, if they were offered, would take up.
And given Lyle and Dunlop's ages, they would obviously be the prime candidates for a player coach role, as McCracken did do before he did hang up his boots. Simon Ferry obviously still very much a first team player, and is of an age where you expect maybe to get another 3-4 years out of him as well. So he's maybe not looking for that as a role at this stage of his career. But I think the way that he plays and the way that he presents himself, he does look as though he's the kind of guy that will go on and coach even become a manager.
Yeah, I think that's almost a certainty. You can see by the way he conducts himself on the field as well. He's trying to lift players round about him, little motivational things, and you know the gene up of the players. I think he'll definitely go into some sort of coaching or management role afterwards.
And it does mean, of course, as well that there's one less wage to pay. So I'm sure Mr. Morrison's quite happy with that scenario, unless whoever's going to be doing the player coaching decides he's going to get two pays.
Two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. So it might then lead on to bringing in another player or two in a January window. I think we'll touch on that a little bit more next week. But he did say he is actively looking for players, which I guess most managers or coaches would say anyway, because you wouldn't just be happy with what you've got, because you'd always be actively looking.
Yeah, I think being in your situation, you're actively looking that wee bit more.
Aye.
Than most teams.
Right, so last game of 2019 is a home game to Clyde. Jim was asked if it's a 6-pointer. He didn't say yes, but he didn't say no either. It is a big game.
It's massive, considering the result, not only that we got Clyde won, and also Forfar, who are behind us are 1 point behind as well. So it's an even bigger game than what it maybe would have been 2-3 weeks ago. And it's a game that, I'll say now, you cannot lose it.
Yeah.
It's one of them games you cannot lose.
You kind of lose it anyway, because it's Clyde. But given the fact that they had 1-5 before, but then won last week, they've just maybe at the turn of hitting a bit of form again, whereas we're kind of a bit more inconsistent.
I think the sides are well matched. They've scored 22 goals, conceded 28, whereas we've scored 21 and conceded 28, and there's only a point or two of difference. So I think we're evenly matched, obviously. We got a result down there last time we went down. They're coming up here. Like you said, they might be on the turn of a result, but the result that we got against East Fife might be the kick up the backside that the players need. Knowing that Clyde have won a game as well, it might just kickstart, dare we say, a revival going. Obviously, we know the games that are coming up, they're very difficult. There is no easy games, but it's a game that we've certainly got to go in and try and get a win.
And we're going to have to obviously defend a hell of a lot better as well, because obviously, if you're going to gift chances to East Fife, they're going to take him. Somebody like David Goodwill is bound to take chances again. I mean, if you remember his goal in the last home game against them, he basically created that with Nottingham himself, just with a little bit of movement.
Yeah, drop of the shoulder or something, was it? And then he moved into space.
And that's the kind of thing, because he's played at the top end of the highest end of the game in Scotland, that's what you're going to get from him. So Brown and Hooper in particular need to be much sharper.
Yeah, and even more switched on.
Yeah. He's obviously the guy to watch. If he gets himself sent off like he did the last time, then that's one less thing to worry about. But I'm quite sure he's learned his lesson from that, and he's not going to get it again. You would think,
yeah.
But you never know. So a must win for that. Anything less would be a disappointment.
Oh yeah, when I quite go as far as say a disaster, but it's certainly getting close to it if we were to lose that, because then the gap, it's almost like a bottom three. So rather than looking up the table and thinking you've got an outside chance of anything, you're more worried what's coming behind you.
And obviously with the run of games that we've got after that, they are much more trickier. Yes, again, two of them are at home out of the three after that. But
still
seem to be, we're still set. We're struggling home and away, so it doesn't really matter. So prediction for this one would be...
I think maybe a draw 1-1, but I would like to get the win. But if we got a draw, it's maybe not the worst result to get.
A positive. I'm going to be slightly more positive, and I'm going to say we're going to get goals.
Is that because we're playing Clyde?
It's maybe clouded my judgment slightly, but I think we're going to get goals, and I think we're going to keep Goodwillie quiet as well. So I think we might sneak this one 2-0. Which would be a nice way to end the year.
Certainly would be.
It would be a fantastic way to end the year. So I'm going to go with 2-0. You're going to go with 1-1.
1-1.
Just stick with that. Right, okay. Right then, that's it for another Blue Tune podcast. I'd like to thank Martin for his impartial views. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Marcus Chipper, and of course to you all for listening. Which leaves us there to say one more thing on behalf of Martin and myself. We'd like to wish you all a merry and safe and joyful Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.